For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of the Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, The Giving of the Macedonia Church, as we pick up in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 16. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Paul, being an apostle to the Gentile, is desiring to take to Jerusalem, to the Jewish believers, a good, healthy sum of money to help them in their poverty, to sort of break down the feelings that existed in the Jewish believers towards the Gentile believers. He felt that we could bring to them a generous offering from the Gentiles, that this wall of partition that more or less existed between them could be broken down, and they would realize the oneness of the family of God as they received help and support from the Gentile believers, a token of their love and esteem for Jerusalem. Now, it was from the church in Jerusalem that the gospel went out. And so there was a debt, in a sense, of the Gentile believers to the church in Jerusalem, for it was the result of the church in Jerusalem sending out the apostles and all that they received the gospel. So Paul comes back now and spends the 8th chapter in the issue over the offering that he wanted them to take for the church in Jerusalem. And in encouraging them to give, he first of all tells them of what the churches in Macedonia gave. Now, Macedonia was Upper Greece, the area of Thessalonica, Berea, Philippi. And these churches in the upper part of Greece were rather poor, and yet they gave very generously. The church in Corinth was a wealthy church, and so Paul is encouraging them to follow the example of the poor brethren in Macedonia. And so, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or we would bring to your remembrance, the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. And so, though they were impoverished themselves, they were extremely liberal. They say that poor people usually give much more to the poor than do wealthy people, because the poor people understand what it is to be poor. This is, I believe, true. It has been our observation through the years that the most generous people within the church are not the wealthiest people, but the poorer people seem to be more liberal. Now, giving to God can never be measured by the amount. God doesn't measure the gift by the amount. God measures the gift by the cost to the giver. You see, if you're making $1 million a year and you give God $100,000 tithe, you're not really giving very much. It doesn't really cost you much. Look at all you've got to live on. If you make $10,000 a year and you give God $1,000, That's giving a lot, because you don't have that much left to live on. What did it cost you? Jesus was with his disciples, standing in the temple, watching the wealthy people as they were coming along and putting their gifts there at the altar, with all of their show and ostentation. This is what Jesus was referring to when in the Sermon on the Mount he said, "And when you give, don't be like the Pharisees who like to get a trumpet band going in front of them. Fanfare, everybody, here I am, here's how much I'm giving. You know, and fanfare, you know, you make a big thing out of it." One little lady came in and dropped in a mite, which was a half of a penny. And Jesus turned to the disciples and he said, "That little lady gave more than all of the rest. For they all had given out of their abundance, but she gave her very substance, all she had." So God has an interesting way of accounting and of keeping accounts as far as what you give. For God looks at what it cost you to give, and that is the measurement whereby God measures our gifts. So the church in Macedonia, they gave out of their deep poverty, yet they were so liberal in their giving of their offering. "For to their power I bear record." Yes, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us and begging us that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. So the church in Macedonia, Paul was probably reluctant to take the money. He said, "Oh, no, you guys need this, you know." And he was reluctant to take their money because they had made such a liberal offering, and they had needs themselves. But they insisted, they entreated Paul, "Take this money because we want to share. We want to have this koinonia. We want to have this," well, the word koinonia was translated one place, "all things in common. We want to have this total sharing with the church." And this they did, more than what we had hoped, actually. But they first gave their own selves to the Lord, and then unto us by the will of God. Now, of course, it is important that, you know, that you give yourself. God is far more interested in you giving yourself than he is your giving your money. In fact, if you don't give yourself to God and just give your money, it's not going to do you any good. They gave first of themselves, and then unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as you abound in everything. Now, this was the poor saints there, you know, who were in Macedonia. They gave liberally. "Now, you abound in everything. You abound in faith, in the utterance of the word. You abound in knowledge. You abound in diligence and in your love to us. See that you abound in this charis also." In this giving. The word charis is an interesting Greek word. It means everything that is beautiful, lovely, glorious, translated grace. "I speak not by commandment," I'm not ordering you, "but by occasion of the forwardness of others to prove the sincerity of your love." Now, having used, first of all, the church in Macedonia as an example of giving through grace, he now refers to even a greater example. "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. And so, calling upon, first of all, the Macedonians as the example of giving. Now, a more dramatic illustration. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, the universe is his, all that is in it. The world is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. Yet for your sake he became poor, in order that through his poverty he might make you rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is necessary for you, who have begun before not only to do but also to be forward a year ago. Now, we've been talking about this, Paul says, for quite a while. Now, therefore, we've talked about it. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it. You've been talking about it for a long time. Now, do it. There comes a time when we need to quit talking and we need to start acting. Start doing it. There's a time when really you need to quit praying and start moving. When Moses had led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they came to the Red Sea, and they had camped there near Pi-Hahiroth, and they looked behind them, and the Pharaoh had come with his chariots and his army. It says, Moses fell on his face and cried unto the Lord, and God says, why are you crying unto me? Get up and get moving, Moses. Now's not the time for a prayer meeting. Now's the time to move. Take your rod, stretch it forth over the sea and all. And so there comes the time for action. We can talk about something for a long time, but then the time comes, we've got to move upon it. And that's what Paul is encouraging them here. Look, you've been talking about it for a long time. Now do it. Perform it, the doing of it. That as there was a readiness to will, or you were willing to do so, so there now may be the performance also out of that which you have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that which he has not. It's your willingness to do. Now, Paul will go ahead and talk further about giving in chapter 9. Actually, this whole thought of giving goes on through into chapter 9. And in chapter 9, he says that your giving should not be from pressure, should not be from constraint, nor grudging. In other words, don't give if you're going to complain or gripe about it. Better not to give. God doesn't like a griping giver. Who does? God loves a cheerful giver. The word in the Greek is hilarious. The offering should be the most hilarious time of the whole service. And if you can't give with hilarity, you shouldn't give. You know, if when you give, you think, oh man, I could go to Bob's and get a big boy and a malt, you know. No, I can't because I'm giving it. It'd be better that you go get your big boy and a malt and get your indigestion and all than to give it in a grudging way to God. God doesn't want you to begrudge what you've given him. And that's not only in money, that's in anything, in service of time or whatever. What I give to God, I ought to give out of a willing heart, out of a loving heart, without begrudging or griping about what I've given or done. That completely spoils the gift when someone then begins to complain or gripe about it. So, there was first of all a willing mind. That's great. That's accepted. God accepts the willingness of your mind according to what you have. You don't have to give what you don't have. For I mean not that other men be eased and you be burdened. I don't want to lay the whole burden on you. But there should be an equality. that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their needs, that their abundance also may be a supply for your needs, that there may be an equality. And so this is what Paul is calling for within the church, an equality. Now, there are places today in the world where the church is really suffering. And that is why we have mission projects. That is why we send thousands of dollars to the Christians in other areas of the world every year. That is why we send out free tapes by the thousands all over the world to various missionary groups. That there might be an equality. God has blessed us abundantly, which lays upon us the responsibility of sharing then with those churches that have not been as blessed, that there might be this equality within the body. Who knows? Maybe someday we'll need help from them. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over. This is when God had sent the manna to them in the wilderness. And he that had gathered little had no lack, the equality that was there. Now, Paul is going to send some messengers down there to collect this offering. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. Titus feels for you just like I do, the same feelings. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. Now, just who this brother is that went with Titus, I don't know. But Titus was wanting to go back and to take this other letter of Paul back to them. And there went with him another brother who was well spoken of in all of the churches. There are those who believe it was probably Luke, but we don't know for sure. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, or with the money that you send, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. So he was chosen to take this offering with us. So Paul is not going to be solely responsible for seeing that this gets back to Jerusalem, but these trusted men are going to be going with Paul in taking this money to the church in Jerusalem. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in the abundance which is administered by us. Paul wanted to be very careful in the money matters, recognizing that it's the Lord's money given by the Lord's people. He sought to be very careful that there was a proper accounting of the money, lest there would be suspicion upon him that he had been taking the Lord's money. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but in the sight of all men. An honest accounting of the funds that have been given. I think that this is so vital for the church to keep an accurate accounting of the monies that have come in and how they've been dispensed. And our church books are open to anyone who attends here and who supports the church. If you want to know how your monies are expended, the books are open and you can look at the books and you can see how the monies are expended. You have a right to know. If you don't give, it's none of your business. Some people want to come in and look at the books. And they're total strangers. We don't open up the books. It's none of their business unless they give. If you give, then it is your business. And we're happy to provide you with an accounting. We feel that we need to provide things honest in the sight of all men. And so we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now the more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. So whether any inquire of Titus, he is my partner. He's a fellow helper concerning you, and our brethren be inquired of. They are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Wherefore, show to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. So go ahead and give a generous offering and show to them, prove to them what I said about you was true, that you're just good people and generous people. So Paul is sending now these men to collect the offering from them that he might, when he goes to Jerusalem, take it to them. And he will continue in the next chapter this thought on their giving before he moves on to the vindication of his apostleship in chapter 10. I would like to commend you for going through chapters 7 and 8. They are not the most inspiring chapters in the Bible. Paul is dealing with local issues in the church of Corinth. However, there are basic principles which we have sought to bring out because the principles remain though the situations change. And so, though this isn't the most inspiring portions of the scriptures, yet there are important principles to be gained in this session. I will frankly confess there are many other areas of scripture where I find much more inspiration. Yet we don't want to skip this because we might skip some principle that is very necessary for us.
Imagine studying the entire Bible, Genesis to Revelation, verse by verse with Pastor Chuck Smith as your guide. Now you can. For more than 60 years, Pastor Chuck faithfully taught the Word of God with clarity, depth, and a heart full of grace. And now his complete Bible teachings, digitally remastered, are available in the powerful C3000 edition, recorded live at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, from 1985 to 1999. This incredible collection includes 634 audio messages covering the entire Bible, packed with insights on Hebrew and Greek word origins, historical timelines, archaeological discoveries, church history, biblical backgrounds and introductions, practical applications for everyday life, and a wealth of solid biblical commentary. All 634 messages come as MP3 audio on a reusable 16-gigabyte flash drive, your portable library for deep, meaningful Bible study anywhere, anytime. Order your C3000 flash drive today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. The C3000 edition, the entire Bible. One teacher, unlimited growth. Now, here's Pastor Chuck.
The Lord be with you and bless you abundantly. You pray for us as we will be praying for you, that the Lord will just minister to you of the abundance of his grace, his mercy, his love through Jesus Christ our Lord. That you might be blessed through the work of his Spirit in your inner man, making you strong, bringing you victory. May the Lord guide your life, keep your life, and use your life for his glory. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of 2 Corinthians on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning 2 Corinthians 7 through 8. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Church on the edge of town. Do, 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 do. People coming every day from miles around for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see it's not the way it used to be. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.